Happy Juju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chumbi, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook, and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! Mm. I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Chumbi from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM.
Good evening. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Chumbi. It's that time of the air evening that we look at face of business, trade, policy, economics, and everything that affects our bread and butter. It's the 27th of April, 2026. Know that you have 3 days before you go to May. That's why we are always indicating to you that it's quite necessary to understand that time wasted is an income lost, and time wasted will never come back. That's why even this evening we are always indicating to you that do your best, to the best of your abilities, so that when history is going to be written, you will be one of those who did not betray the country, but you will be one of those who have definitely contributed to the upliftment of the private sector, upliftment of the public sector, upliftment of the civil society, and also the building of a greater nation, that is Namibia. And do you know that everybody has... We have a commonality we want to get the country into. Even somebody who is in jail now, even somebody who is in sickbed, even somebody who is no more able, we have that commonality of having a great Namibia where everybody is equal, a great Namibia where the resources of the country are equally distributed, a great Namibia where the negotiation table is even, a great Namibia where when it comes to negotiating about the natural resources, we are uncompromised. We look at the future, and we are long-term thinkers. And yeah, today we'll be speaking about the importance of consistency, the importance of consistency in a developmental project, the necessity of continuation, doing the same thing, upgrading the same thing for a very long time until you build. The thinkers and writers of developmental studies indicate that the establishment of a bigger nation such as the second powerful economy in the world, that is China, was not built in one day, but was built by continuation on the program of development, consistent development, and also learning from previous mistakes. That is a question that we are going to unpack and also interrogate. Particularly when you are going to ask a question to say, what is the cost of inconsistency in our national developmental projects? What have we done wrong that we need to make sure that we learn from? And you can agree with me, you can disagree with me, you can argue, which is your democratic right, as long as you are giving me points to say, could it be that our inconsistency in terms of established projects that have started and couldn't be delivered based on different aspects of leadership, different advices, and also different views, particularly on established projects that were established on the ground of seeing their final conclusion. We'll touch on the aspect of established institutions, established infrastructures, if they are serving their purposes, or they are just still standing. We also look at the aspect of commitment and also the diversion, the fluctuation of national projects and also ideas that aim to develop everybody. Before we go there, it's quite necessary, it's quite important to look at global affairs to say what is happening around the world. We see the United States is settling, particularly after, that disturbance during the weekend. You know, there was a man who almost, got into the dining hall, that the White House dining hall, where there were high-level officials, all the important officials of the United States government were there, particularly at the White House gala dinner, where you see the vice president and the president have to be rushed out. See, the director of FBI, And you also see, you can say he's a minister of defense, but he's called the Secretary of War. Everybody there. There was chaos, but you also see that in terms of America, you can hate them or you love them. There is one thing that you cannot take away from them. In terms of using their guns, they are very good at their guns. They are very good with their security things. And you can really see people who can work under pressure. To say if there is things to learn from US is how to protect their own and also how to neutralize difficult situation, because that was not expected. And it's also looking at the world to say if you have made a mistake there, cause people to be hurt, the security cluster will be held accountable, but you'll be able really to see that they are professional in their own way. That is also up for debate, but they are professionals in their own way. Look at the issue of Iran. You also see that when it comes to Iran, you'll be able to see that the minister, Abrashi, that is the Minister of Foreign Affairs, a top diplomat in the Iranian government, is in Russia, especially looking at various ways on finding a deal, especially when it comes to ending the war and also bring about long-term peace and stability. And I want you to look and also ask yourself a question, particularly relating to Ukraine, Russia war, and also most importantly, related to Iran and also United States of America and Israel too. To say, if we are speaking about, that was almost 2 months ago, speaking about Namibia having enough oil for 3 months, and understand that April is coming to an end, not very soon, not the next week, but April is coming to an end on Thursday. We are going to May. And also the question is that what will happen? Where are we going to get the oil? Do we have a game plan? You know, there is a video that is circulating online where Angolan police on the motorbike following Gungura, people, particularly those who are stealing oil and also selling them illegally. Then you can really see that although the police have the very good intention, does not necessarily mean that having good intention will lead to successful results. We are not saying people must not obey the law. We are saying leaders must come on the table and look at the doability. Because the question that we'll also be able to ask is that after next month, if the situation in the Middle East did not come to an end, what will happen? Are we going to put another 500 million on the table to subsidize, or we are going to allow the oil price to skyrocket and the downtrodden to be drowned in the debts that are unimaginable? Those are the questions that we need to ask ourselves. And also, what is the alternative? What is a better way of surviving? What is a better way of going through this crisis? If you look at countries such as Chad, they realize to say they are not able to survive within what has been established, especially the system of depending too much on external energy. That's why if you look at a country such as Chad, they come up with emphasizing more on utilization of green coal. And maybe that is also the question that we must bring about when we speak about green energy. What are we really speaking about? If green energy can be used to fuel, cars such as green hydrogen, why can't that be pushed so far so that we can be able to utilize that? Is it really the thing? Because if you look at Chad, they stated that after socio-economic crisis, Chad have lost much, especially when it comes to the increment in the price of oil. However, it is stated that it has also focused now on utilization of green coal and environmentalist aging, that green coal is the way, and the green coal have long aged to be able to find a cleaner, or is presumed and presented to be a cleaner alternative, especially to oil and gas. And you see that They are saying on Kaga we Grongoshom, in terms of trouble times, we'll teach you better ways of surviving. And in simple terms, it's also indicating to you that drought or hunger will teach you how to preserve food, how to find a better way of surviving. That is why Chad has found a way of subsidizing or coming up with an alternative form of energy, especially when it comes to supplementing what they have, which is not in large amount. And the question is that Amtse having a plan? Is the petroleum sector having a plan, especially when it comes to alternative? It's quite very important to bring about economic scenario planning, because it's better to understand what you do not have so that you'll be able to find a way on surviving, and so that you will be able to find a way on finding what you do not have, instead of believing in optimism, because optimism is good, but optimism which is not backed by fact is just another dream of saying things will be well. And let's hope that is not what it is. Let's hope there is a game plan on how we are going to utilize oil, and maybe we'll find a way in other countries, because Dangote has stated that nothing is going to stop them. Nothing is going to stop them, especially when it comes to opening another road in East Africa, building another refinery where Uganda, Kenya is going to be part of that sector. And let's hope that Africa will find a way on making sure that when it comes to energy, we are self-sustaining and we focus on other things. Because really, if you look at countries such as Canada, if you look at the US, if you look at other countries in the world, people are they may focus on energy, but they are busy with other things. You heard Museveni say, no, we can't be just eating macaroni and dancing here. People are traveling the moon, our common property. And interestingly, nobody owns the space. It's our space. But as a Namibian, if somebody's saying, speaking about the space, I even feel that it's not our thing, because we are not exposed to that environment, because we are still very far. That's why before we look at the conversation for today, that is looking at the necessity of consistency in developmental project, I want you to listen shortly from one of the great speakers, and also an intellectual of our time, is Prince Marshall. He's a South African intellectual speaking about the global overview, how the world is operating, particularly understanding the systems of the economy, the system of power, and also understand the aspect of democracy and where we are going. And just to get the tip off, especially when was speaking at the conference that is speaking about the future of democracy and governance, and get that content, because it's always necessary to have a different understanding to see how people are reacting around the world, and also how people are thinking and they are saying and where they are going. Because we always indicating to say, when it comes to the issue of global relations, when it comes to the issue of international affairs, everybody must understand that this is not a subject that should be remitted to few people, because the more we understand, the more we value what we have, and also the more we protect what we have. Because if we are not understanding what is happening currently in Africa, how will we protect our resources? If we are not understanding that the countries, and these are the reports that are verified by AU, Interpol, the reports are indicating to say, if you look at the terror which is happening in Mali, there are significant evidence that are pointing fingers to the Middle East, supporting these rebels. And understand that there must be a reason. People have sophisticated weapons, and countries with natural resources are being destroyed. And if we are not learning from that, if we are not understanding international affairs, then it's going to be very difficult. That's why the conversation doesn't mean that you should compete with whoever is there. The conversation means that when you understand how things are operating, it's easier for you to make decisions. It's also easier for you to be very careful, prudent, sagacious, and also well informed, particularly when you are getting into negotiations, because what you see every day is the encouragement of Namibian to get into the negotiation and agreement. But we really understand the contractual agreement that we are getting into. Do we really understand the partners that we are getting into agreement with, or we are just getting into agreements? So stay tuned, because we are here until the hour of 1900 hours. And the conversation is economic. The conversation looking at what we need to do. And this is a conversational program. That's why we are always indicating to you to say, when it comes to developmental opinions and views, understand that our leaders also need assistance. And it's also our moral responsibilities to make sure that we don't just say we are expecting for minister to deliver. Assist the minister with information. Assist the minister with ideas. Because the human being like you, he or she can also have a wrong view or a short-sighted view, which is normal to any human beings. That's why it's always important to advise each other. There is always this thing to say, if it's a doctor, cannot be advised by a nurse. Even a patient can advise a doctor. That's why we need to make sure that whatever practical way of making sure that our national developmental agenda is moving forward, let's talk about it. Let's discuss it with leaders who come to us and want to discuss, instead of competing them or want them down. And in this morning, I was speaking about people who are very happy when other people are going down. People who are on social media are very excited to see, I cannot wait for David to go down. I cannot wait for my colleague to go down. I cannot wait for Dwight to fall. Which is actually a wrong narrative to say. Why can't you say, I cannot wait to work together, I cannot wait to uplift? There are people even in politics who cannot wait to see other politicians being reshuffled or being fired. It's become a good news. Don't we see that? That exactly telling us that we are very far from where we want to get into. Because if that makes us happy, who is going to build this country? Absolutely nobody. Who is going to own the resources of this country? Do you know that currently, as you are standing, you are walking on top of gold, copper, diamond, uranium, and other rare earth minerals? Do you know that as you are speaking now, the statistics of African mineral research are indicating that Namibia is in the top 10 of discovering of rare earth and critical minerals? That is where the world is going. When people are speaking about robotics and AI, they speak about our country. But the question that we need to look into is that, what is your role that you are playing in that development? But before we go to the aspect of consistency, which is central to our discussion today, let us look at Prince Machel and continue with the conversation.
I'm going to do two things. One, I'm going to give you my opinion in terms of what I see in the world. That's number one. Number two, I'm going to talk about the country I know best, South Africa, because I'm a South African. Let's start here. And I know that you come from all over the world. You have views that are informed by where you stand in the world. So you are listening to a South African, and he's telling you how he sees the world. This is what I see. One, I'm seeing the fall of the West and the rise of China. That's what I see. If I'm not mistaken, most of you here are Westerners. So I'm so sorry to offend you and tell you that you are falling. But that's what I see. Of course, the world, as we have known it, has gone through cycles of empires rising and falling. The Western Empire is falling. After the Second World War, The Western Bloc, as you know, emerged successful. And it constructed a political regime, a security regime, and an economic regime. And there are institutional pillars that undergirded these three regimes. Politically, the idea of an organization that will bring together countries of the world to talk about world problems in order to make sure that there is no war. That's a political regime, that's the UN. The West are busy as we speak demolishing the UN. Security regime, it's partly the UN, but more importantly, NATO. The idea that you need to have a very strong military alliance that is going to be feared by everyone else in the world. Before you attack a Western country, even before the idea enters your head, you will know that there will be serious consequences. NATO is showing very serious cracks, and there is diminished commitment to it by the Americans, and the Americans have been the pillar of that regime. Economically, the entire Bretton Woods system plus the World Trade Organization, there is minimal commitment to it by the Americans, and the Americans have been the pillar of that regime. Parallel to that, this is the second point, I see the rise of China. The Chinese have been very smart, extremely smart. They have studied two things. They have studied one, the decline of the Soviet Union. How did the Soviet Union decline? And how did the West triumph? One, they realized that the Soviets and the Russians under Putin, they have actually ignored the economic aspect of power and over-focused on the military aspect of power. So whatever the Chinese do, they have been investing very systematically in their economy and refining economic ideas, because they understood that actually had undergated Western power. So as we speak, the Chinese are the second biggest economy in the world. As the Europeans disintegrate, what do? One by one, they are running to China. Even Canada, the neighbor of the US, is running to China. When it comes to AI, the West have been beaten by the Chinese. Just watch the space. And according to the Chinese, and they've woken up to this long time ago, AI is the future, and they've been pumping lots of resources in that area. Putin has also figured it out that the West is very weak. That's why he went to Ukraine, tested it in 2014, I think. Nothing happened seriously, and he went again. And now, with the current leadership in the U.S., he can see that, I have an indirect ally. So that's the rise of China. The third, and this is the world, now I'm going to conclude with South Africa. This, for me, is the most worrying bit that I'm seeing. I'm seeing the decline of democracy as a credible system of governing human affairs. This, for me, is the most worrying. The whole post, you see, in 1989, with the collapse of the Berlin Wall and the triumph of the West, Francis Fukuyama wrote The End of History. And the whole idea was that liberal democracy is the future. The rest of the world now understands and accepts that liberal democracy is the future. And most of us, even in Africa, by the way, we were inspired by that. The call for the democratization of African societies was inspired by the success of that message that liberal democracy is the future. But the leader of that project, of that message, was the U.S. We were looking at the U.S. and think we also want to live like Americans, to be free in an open society where I can go to school and be educated and I become middle class and I am successful and I can express my views and I can vote periodically. Now, if you look at the world.
Hot dogs. I love hot dogs. I wonder why it's called a hot dog. I can eat them day or night. Let's squeeze some tomato sauce on this bad boy and enjoy. Ah, no! Now I've got tomato sauce on my dog, my watch, and my favorite shirt.
Sometimes you just squeeze too hard, and your favorite shirt gets ruined. But luckily, with Express Credit's easy payday loans, you can get up to 9,000 Namibian dollars to help ease your financial squeeze in under 15 minutes.
Ah, now that's a relief.
Visit expresscredit.com.na. Express Credit, money when you need it.
Now, if you look at the world now, the most coherent political system that seems to be delivering goods to its citizens, it's actually the Chinese system. Hate it. I don't want to live there. Or love it. I personally don't want to live in China. But if you're objective, you will realize the most coherent, and by the way, there is no nation in the world, as you know, in history, by the way, not only modern history, in history that has lifted, find any nation in the world that has done that. In those big numbers. So the Chinese are coherent, but it's a dictatorship. I don't like a dictatorship. The democracies are showing serious cracks. And the Chinese are saying, but look, they say we must democratize. Will that weaken us or will that strengthen us? Now, that's what I'm seeing. Let me now talk about the country I know best.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are continuing with business and economic segment, and today we are looking at consistency in terms of developmental project. Have you ever asked yourself a question to say how many of those projects that your former constituency councillor started that up to now you are still not seeing the realization of those projects? And if you ever also ask yourself a question to say, how come somebody come from behind and will be able to complete something within the term of 5 years that could take another person 15 years? Then you ask yourself a question also again to say, how many leaders, and you can take it both ways. You can look at politics, you can look at corporate affairs, you can look at the pure private sector. Then you can also look at the civil society organization. You can also look at union. I want you to try and find a case study in the Namibian context where there was an appreciation of continuation of leadership, continuation of the plan, and continuation of the incomplete project. Just think about it. A certain MD is fired. Another MD come in. The first thing they do is to look at the new plan. Why can't you proceed with an incomplete project? Because one thing that people we also fail to understand in governance is the aspect of when somebody was champion of an organizational plan, it doesn't mean that it is only plan. That is an institutional plan. Do we reach a level where we are saying a person can come and go, but the institution remains, and the person who can come and take over the institution will be able to say, you have started this project until 40%, I'm just going to come and end, instead of, coming up with a completely new project. And this is not a news in either Namibian politics, in the ambient corporate affairs, where you see that somebody come in and want to revive almost everything. I'm always asking myself a question to say, how can an institution such as NIDA will be revived and operation fully and be able to achieve those results? Ask yourself one question again. How long did it take for NIDA to have a CEO? Does it have a full-time CEO now? You must tell me. What was the intention of establishing this institution? Was it a good intention? Yes, it was a good intention. Was there a political commitment? Yes, there was a political commitment. What went wrong? What was the element of consistency in continuity of that? And as also you ask yourself a question again to say, why when somebody come into power, particularly ministers and ministers and CEOs, when somebody come to power, come and say no, what others was doing, I'm a new person, this is what exactly we are going to do. The first thing I'm going to do is this. But there are also elements of saying, no, we are appreciating what David has done, but I'm going to do this. Why can't we apply the element of consistency? Because the data are indicating to us countries who made it to advanced developmental stages. They build stronger institutions that can withstand the test of time. They build stronger institutions that an institution is no more linked directly to the leader, but to the principles which are set there. Ask yourself the question. There's if you know Windhoek very well, when you are going to Havana, passing by Hakahana, between Havana and Greenwell, they say, a stadium there that is not even a proper structured stadium is where young people like coming and playing. There are structures there. Somebody was trying to build something. Somebody was trying to build something, and you are asking yourself a question to say, is it the money which was finished? Is it the project which was not continued? Is it because the political leadership have changed? Or is it because the project manager have changed? And when you are looking at the standing materials, you are asking yourself a question really to say, this can be millions of dollars, but buildings are standing. Something have started and incomplete. Could be the lack of continuity in developmental project, the reason we are falling behind. Kuduga started and disappeared in the thin air. Maybe it's going to be revived again. The big man, the founding father, started the green schemes, and they have been stagnant for a very long time. People take equipment here and there. Now we are trying to revive it, but there is a bit of a silence. Why can't we go hand on and say, come thunder, come fire, we are continuing on the project that they've been there. And the idea of continuation of legacy is a very good idea, but are we really seeing that? Have somebody stood up and say that the Genkop was planning was very good. Maybe it was not able to happen at this time. Maybe Harambe would have been revived so that we'll see that realization. If you read that document, it's quite a very good document. It's quite a very good document. But where is the monitoring and evaluation report of that document? Can we not extend that? Have you ever asked yourself to say, after NDP6, what is going to come next? So, those are the questions that we are asking ourselves to say. Consistency in a national developmental project should be a matter of agency and should be realized. I don't know. It could be that it have happened. Maybe there was a handover between Minister Shongarero and also our Minister of Education and Youth, particularly on what she has done during her tenure. Maybe there was a handover. Maybe proper information were given about the renovation of stadiums. But up to now, as you are looking at things, I'm not saying it's not going to happen. The future is a bit braille, especially when it's coming to stadiums of the standard of African Union. Have we ever asked ourselves a question to say, why did it took Rwanda 6 months to build a stadium to play basketball. Then it takes Namibia, we don't know how many years, just to renovate. It's not to build from the scratch. It's to renovate and upgrade. Have you ever asked ourselves that question? Maybe we should also look at case studies and analyze them properly, especially when you look at case studies of fastest growing economies in Africa, to look at their leaders. Could it be that the time that leaders have been in power, maybe it have assisted with consistency because the person is continuing implementing on the project that he did not implement in the past 5 years. Then consistency can also come to the personal life. Ask yourself with that question to say, what have you been doing consistently for a very long time that either you like or you want to achieve? Is it coming from our personal upbringing that we likely drop a project mid-air before we reach the final conclusion? And that is a question that is we are not only asking our leaders, it's also a question that we need to ask, our younger people. The National Youth Week have officially started, and we see young people discussing about their issues. Where is continuation of legacy, especially when it comes to the youth agenda? What happened between the, particularly when it comes to youth agenda? When a young person transit to go to adulthood, do they connect with other young people? Or they say, no, in our times we used to do that. Can we protect the institution of the state, such as National Youth Council, to say there must be consistency? Young people must not be used as a political tool, but must be assisted to develop their own agenda. And I really hope that the EC who is there and somebody who is going to take over will definitely drive that institution somewhere. Because what we have seen, young people, they are not happy. Let's hope that restoration of governance and also consistency in developmental projects would be a priority moving forward. Because looking at things, looking at the number, I'm also a realist. I'm not somebody who can scare you, but I can tell you the truth to say, looking at the number, we must not operate at the same pace that we have been operating. We need to upgrade our game. And we also need to make sure that as the president indicated, that is not business as usual. Let us not operate as business as usual. If the president is saying, let us use the resources for the greater good of the Namibian people, that is a command of the commander-in-chief of the Namibian people. Because looking at things, you really see that when you look at Namibian young people, and my heart is always moving, especially when I look at somebody who is graduating. And I'm quoting Mr. Lafayette Riswanyiso has said, to say to be a CEO in Namibia, we must have a crocodile skin. But I want to rephrase it and put it in the context of students to say to be a graduate in Namibia currently, you must develop a little bit of a crocodile skin, because the water will be able to test you. The weather will be able to test you. If you don't fall fast and pick yourself up, the street may absorb you and you not come back. But could that be the case if we had consistency in national developmental projects? Could that be the case if we understood that everybody has something to contribute? Because the problem that we don't want to make is coming up with completely different idea and not observing the foundation. If you are coming to somebody's institution, at least respect the foundation which was there. If you are a manager somewhere, at least respect the foundation and build on that. Don't say, I will completely change. There was a certain individual who was appointed to run a transport industry. Then through the media, that chief executive officer said, I'm going to transform this institution. I'm going to turn it upside down and make sure that, I would deliver on the deliverables. My friend, just 1 year on the job, fire has already erupted. That is already indicating to you that maybe the intention was good, but the problem is that people do not want consistency. People do not want consistency. That's why maybe things are the way they are.
Why pay more when you can pay less at USAFE stores? Enjoy nutritious and delicious meals for the whole family. 4 kilogram real good frozen mixed chicken portions for only $199.99. 5 kilos Rice King, $99.99. 500 grams Rama 70% fat free, $26.99. 700 milliliter Wellington's tomato sauce, just $26.99. USAFE, where good food costs less.
Things are the way they are because it took Rwanda about 25 years to be where they are, consistency in doing what they are doing. They have faced the worst civil unrest in the history of Africa, where almost 1 million people died within the span of 8 months. Tribal. But they build their country. They build the palace. Whatever is happening, we can debate on their political leadership. But what we are discussing today is a consistency in developing their projects. You look at Uganda, and I'm always impressed by Museveni. I don't like the way he do his things in the political arena. I'm not supporting that. But he's a project man. He is a project man, and he must give him credit for that. And one thing that you can learn from him is that he's patient and he is consistent. To say, if you are building a refinery, let us start now and continue. Let me tell you one thing. And the people don't want to speak about it. There was a conversation on green hydrogen when he started. People thought, no, it was Genkop's project and all these things. But after things came about, we don't know what happened. But you see the crack. And Namibia don't like talking about this. And there was a bit of a crack to say, no, yes, it is, but it's not yet coming out. Yes, it's not coming out. But if we just drop it now, what are we going to finish with? Can we push it at least somewhere so we can find a way? Let us look at oil and gas. Let me say somebody come after 5 years or 10 years when... President leave the seat democratically. Somebody take over. They say, no, I think let's start with uranium. Then we drop this thing of oil, they are not working. Are we going to reach the final conclusion? Because what make me ask the question of consistency is the fact that 2030 is just, around the corner. If you look at the window, you will be seeing 2030. But if... in the early 2000s, particularly when that dream of industrialized Namibia was established, if we were not just agreeing this agreement here, this friend here, we would not be where we are. But maybe it's a high time now that we say, let us be committed. If we are speaking about 500,000 jobs, let us not pressure our government with its good intention. If they don't reach 500,000 jobs within 2030, that is okay. But what can we do to make sure that 2035, at least we have pushed beyond that, or maybe we have reached that target? If we are speaking about we want to grow our economy by 6% so that we can create that kind of job, and we are growing less than 3%, it's okay for now. But what can we do instead of starting everything? What can we do to end on what we have started? We see, we ask the question of value addition. There is a little progress in value addition. If we can end more on that instead of looking at other projects, maybe we can be able to reach our final destination, and that is a prosperous Namibia. If we speak about growth at home strategy, have we been consistent? If we just ask ourselves a question, have we been consistent if we speak about growth at home strategy? Have we been consistent in that area? Are we buying home products? Are we supporting home products? And Amoro is very angry, particularly when somebody speak about empowering local Namibians and all this aspect. But when you look at Namibian hosting international conferences, you ask yourself a question to say, what is the role of the local people, particularly the downtrodden? What is the role of those people in these conferences? If they do not have a role, we are not only lying to ourselves, we are not doing what we are saying, and it's very dangerous for the future. And yeah, that should not only apply at the governance level, that should not only apply at private sector level or at NGO level, it should also be at an individual level. We have a gullible society. We have somebody who cannot be consistent for 5 years or 3 years doing the same project. We have entrepreneurs who are moving up and down here and there. And I'm not saying people should not change direction. I'm just saying continuation is necessary, because if we concentrate on what we do, then it's easier for people to come and assist us. Imagine you are in a partnership with a country. Then in 2010, maybe in 2006, you speak about, you know, we have a manufacturing industry, we have Lamatex, and we want to build the greatest, you know, clothing line in SADC region. But when this diplomat come in 2012, you can say, no, that one we pack it. We want to do electricity, want to utilize solar. And that come, when that person come in 2022, you say, no. We are no more at solar, but I think green hydrogen is a new industry. We are going green. There's some funds coming from international institution, and we can do this. But after all, you say, no, I think we have discovered oil. We are going to do something. By the time you blink, we have 25 incomplete projects, unfinished, and our nation is where it is. Because if you really look at what the Namibians are going through on a daily basis, apart from really the appreciation of the government, particularly the social grant, if you remove the social grant from Namibia just for 2 months, a lot of things are going to collapse. Because if you travel and you see how people are surviving, if you move around the street and see how people are surviving, you only ask a question to say, had we been consistent in doing our project? Had we been consistent in fighting corruption? Had we been consistent in transforming our education system? Had we been consistent in empowering young people, real empowerment, we would not be where we are now. Had we planned very well about the decoloniality of institutions, we would not be here. Because up to now, we are only seeing conference, and for me, I'm going to the conference and also to see how people are doing things, and also to ask a question, the same question I'm asking, to say, is the only thing that we are consistent about is talking about problems and solutions without moving one inch, one step ahead? Is that the only thing that we are very good at? Because even when you look at the month of May, you look at the calendar, there's a lot of conference, developmental conference, empowerment conference, but how many projects are opening? Because time is not on our side, and how can we get into those projects? But that can only be done if you have a country that understand what other countries have done. There is a beautiful thing about issue of benchmarking, because if you benchmark, doesn't necessarily mean that you copy and paste. You benchmark for, and you take what is good, but you are consistent with your programs. If you want to test your consistency, look at your resolutions of 2027 or 2017, 2018. Look at what you wanted and what you have. Look at the field that you are in. And also look at what you have done in that aspect. And look at what you are not happy about. So that is a conversation for today. And that should apply to everybody. Even in young entrepreneurs, if you say you want to save money as an entrepreneur, are you consistent about that? Can you do something continuously so that you can train yourself? Can you build on what was already established? We have seen, a lot of institutions, particularly those that were well established and had a strong foundation, when the leadership changed, you can also see that somebody who came to power came with completely different things. There is a good example that is always given to Papkeva's, businesses, to say when the owner of the business left this world. Yes, there have been news around and people are giving their respect, all these things, but business continue, sale continue, business expanded even, because there is consistency. People did not come up with their plan, their new plan. They say, okay, we had a 5-year plan. We also have a 20-year vision. What can we add to this? Technology come. What can we add to this? AI came. What can we add to this so that we can reach that intended goal? Because it's only through that you don't only maintain institutions, but you definitely find a way on achieving the intended goal and help Namibian people. And you see, Namibians, we love attending conferences because look at the people at conferences. Some people, they are really interested in the content, but in most cases, people want to go there and eat. I look at people, particularly when you move around in formal settlement, you look at people who are asking to say, no, they invent wewe. Is their food. If we see an event having thousands of people, we must ask ourselves, why are people there? Are they even listening? That's why there is always this, and I think people, event organizers, they have identified it to say, if you are inviting somebody, the content will come after the food. Say, no, there will be refreshment served so that people come and attend. Then you understand that we really have a real problem and we are just, we have a long way to go. So stay tuned. We are here until the hour of 1900 hours. Dear listeners, that will bring us to the end of our conversation, especially when you speak about consistency and also looking at the aspect of developmental programs and to an individual to say, if you want to get far, you must consistently doing what is right. We must consistently doing the right thing. We must consistently be positive, consistently be diligent, and consistently be visionary, and also consistently be incorruptible, and consistently love our country. Let us not only love our country in public, but when we are in office, we are moving things from point one to B, where B is your pocket. But we must make sure that really we are consistent in everything that we do. If you are a student, you cannot just go to university. You are studying HR tomorrow. You are studying business management. With the time you are about to graduate, you are coming from a school of engineering. You are inconsistent and you are very dangerous for the country. I'm not saying people should not change, but at least you must have principles that are guiding you, because that you do, if you move from one place to another place, it's a very good thing. But are you able to maintain that, to say, this is what you're going to finish? Because if somebody have to make you a project manager and your academic record is indicating that year one, you are studying engineering, year two, you are studying microbiology, year three, you are studying law, year four, you go to education, year five, you come back and study project management. Then, by the grace of God, you finish project management. And we have a bigger project that we have to give you. By the look of things, you are already a definition of inconsistency. And you are the definition of the producer of white elephant projects in the future. Because in the situation that we are living in now, if we have a plan of addressing food insecurity, we must be somewhere already. If we have a plan of addressing, youth unemployment, we must be somewhere already. Now, if we are planning to address, for example, youth crisis or youth unemployment, have we ever built on the ministry of, there was a ministry of poverty eradication. Do you know that in Namibia there was a ministry of poverty eradication? What plan did they have? Have we built on those plans or we just say, no, 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 you guys are not working, you go home, we bring another one who can do the job? But, you know, dear listeners, this indicating that we must...
So, what will your friends think if you show up at school with a brand new 10th gen iPad? TopScore Instant is making back to school in 2026 the coolest thing ever, giving away unbelievable prizes. To win one of 8 iPads or a weekly stationery voucher worth 1,000 Namibian dollars, simply buy a 1kg or 2kg TopScore Instant from any store nationwide and SMS Instant to 22442. Competition ends 31 March 2026. T's and C's apply. TopScore, a proud product of Namib Mills.
Dear listeners, this indicating that we must really pull up our socks, because it's cutting across to say you must not be consistently doing the wrong thing. I'm not saying you should not change, because the only permanent thing is change. But you can change within the consistency. You can change the plan, but you don't change the vision. You can change the speed. You can change the vehicle you are using, but you don't change the vision. The vision must always be there to say everybody wants a greater Namibia. Even somebody who is in jail, even somebody who is in a sick bed wants a greater Namibia where we are respected. A good Namibia where when you speak about sport, Namibia, we are competing freely without scared of being looked down. We are competing well. When it comes to boxing, we are competing well, freely on an international platform. When it comes to sports such as football, we are training at home. Everybody wants innovation. I don't want to, when I'm going to get married, which is obviously, although not now, I don't want the people to be at my wedding and they are using toothpicks from China. I'm not hating China. It's China brought a lot of development and took people out of poverty, particularly in Asia and also in Africa. But I will not be happy. Even at my time, people are at my wedding and they are using toothpicks from China. It's not going to be correct. Because that is showing that even the children that we are going to produce, they are going to be in a zone of, be controlled economically and cannot move anyway. And they will ask us a question to say, David, when you are working at Eagle FM, what did you do for your country? Were you only discussing musics? We were discussing, Pacaccini, dancing, or you were talking about the real developmental issue. When the country was going down, what did you do? There are people who are not answering questions. Do you know that there are parents who are not answering questions to say, okay, when people were going to exile, you did not go to exile. When people were going to school, you did not even go until grade 5. When people were going to work in the mines, you did not go. Okay, there was committee within the village, you did not go. The question kids are asking to say, Daddy, Mommy, what did you do when others were also moving somewhere? What did you do when the country was going down and was collapsing, when the economy was collapsing? What did you do when, the country was getting 2% in its own natural resources? So, dear listeners, that will bring us to the end of our conversation. See you around. Bye-bye.